Amen. All right, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. The force of faith. The force of faith. Glory to God. You know, it's something here that is happening that's very subtle. That they had been with Jesus and had heard his teachings, and I'm sure they had heard the fact that he was saying that he was going to be crucified, he was going to die and rise again. And we know that a number of them were operating, of course, in unbelief, because when he finally appeared, he appeared to the disciples, and one of them, called Thomas, was not there. We call him Doubting Thomas. And when he had left, Thomas came and they said, we have seen the Lord. Thomas said, uh-uh. Now, Jesus told them what was going to happen, that he'd rise again and so forth. But you notice how you can get a head knowledge of something, but really it not be in your heart. And it's kind of interesting here because it said in verse 2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, now that's what we call Sunday, okay, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Now, they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? So they obviously had some knowledge that there was a huge stone over this sepulcher or grave. And it says in verse 1 that they had bought sweet spices. Now this is very subtle, but it is extremely profound. The force of faith. By the time they got there, they noticed that the stone was rolled away. Now, I want you to think about that. Okay? Faith. Because here we are talking tonight, not about just hearing the word, but actually acting on this word. James calls it, in James chapter 2, and we'll get there, he calls it corresponding action. Corresponding action. I put a couple of points down here. God is determined to prosper the end time church. But no blessings can be delivered to you without faith. Now, put something right there and just turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, please. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, here we do have this what we call, some call the definition of faith, or what faith is. Verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read that out of the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance and the confirmation and the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So once a person decides to walk by faith, they must leave the realm of their senses, because it is an entirely different dimension. It's a new realm. Some call it the sixth sense. We don't mean that in a cult way, but we mean that you've left this realm where you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell things. Now you're operating in a realm that those things cannot be confirmed with the senses. But that is where faith is. Now let's show you over in verse 2, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we are seeing, or things which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. So what he's saying here basically is that these things that we see now were not made out of something that was visible. In other words, you make a house out of brick and mortar. Well, faith can make something out of nothing that you can see. Isn't that wonderful? Now I want you to grab hold of this, because this is where the church must go if we are to finish the work that the Father has given us to do. Let's go and look at verse 6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Let's go over to 1 John, please, and chapter 5. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Let me know when you get there, please. All right, I'll read verse 4 first. I'll just read verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Even our faith. So what do we need to overcome the world? Faith. So if you don't have faith, how are you going to overcome the world? And I said it before, that if you don't have faith and you're walking by your senses, then the enemy just put a little ring in your nose and just lead you around, because he's going to lead you by your senses. And he is a deceiver. Sense realm is his realm. He is God in the sense realm. But once you go up in the realm of faith, Jesus becomes Lord. And that realm of faith has dominion over everything in the senses. The world of the unseen can control the world of the seen. Isn't that wonderful? Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. So faith can control anything that you can see. You all with me? All right, stay with me now. So we need faith. Let's go to Luke's gospel and Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. All right. Now, over in Luke chapter 1, look what it says here, and I won't read all of that. Verse 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was who? Mary. Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Glory to God. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that Mary obviously was a woman of faith. This angel was telling her all kinds of stuff. He said, Hey, you're going to conceive. Now, understand, she has never had an intimacy with a man. You're going to get a son, not a daughter. You're going to call his name Jesus, not Jethro. Now, the only thing I'm telling you is she had to believe all of this solely based on a word. She had no evidence. She had never heard the name before. And matter of fact, Zacharias messed up because he was trying to name his son Zach Jr. You remember that? No, come on. Is somebody here, y'all remember that? And that didn't work. God had to lock his mouth because that was not going to be the name of that boy. That's people now. They don't ask God. Ask God what's going to be the name of your child. Don't just name him, you know, or name her, you know, something. Just, you know, well, I just feel Lucretia is what I'm told. And that's all right. If God gave you that, then that's fine. But don't just come up with something because it sounds cute. A name's got a lot to do with the destiny. My name is William. It means protector. And that there's a name that was given to us. God told me what to name my son, David. And I'm saying that he's got a name for him. And now if you name him something else, God will still deal with him. I mean, you know. Y'all remember the prayer of Jabez, don't you? All right. Now, my point to you is that he unloaded a lot of things here on her. He shall reign over the house of Jacob. I mean, all of this came to Mary. And Jesus asked one thing, well, how's this going to happen to me? I don't know a man. He said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. Well, that even complicated it even more. And I'm saying this was a woman of faith. Because I believe that's why the favor came to her. Because she believed God for it. You can believe God for favor. You can believe God that when you go in for a contract and negotiation, you can believe God for favor. Say amen to this. And so what happens now is that she received that. And when she received, she conceived. Man, are you following what I'm saying? Now, go all the way over here to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And let me know when you get there. Have you got it? In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the what? Word. The Word was with who? God. And the Word was who? God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. And what? And dwelt among us. So I'm saying to you that no blessings can be delivered to you without your faith. Now, I hate to tell you that, but that's the truth. Let's go to another place. Let's confirm that. Let's go to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 4. Now, it might sound like something you heard before and all of that. Well, if that be the case, where is your faith? Show me something in your life that faith produced. I want to see it right now. Let faith produce. Amen. Oh, you pointing at your wife. I guess at your wife. I guess at your wife. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to get that wrong. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, yeah. Faith. And faith produced. What did it do for me? Faith got this. Faith got that. Faith got this. Faith put us on television. Faith put us on radio. I went down there. God said, I want you to go down, and I want you to go on radio. I went down to see the guy. This was years ago. And we talked about it. And he said, when would you like to go on? I said, I'd like to go on Saturdays for 15 minutes. I understand. I'm thinking I'm walking by faith, big time faith. I came back home. I got in prayer. God said, I didn't say 15 minutes. Go on every day. I said, every day? Now, I understand. I'm thinking I got to do this, but faith doesn't work. Oh, Lord, you got to hear what I'm saying. So I go back down and I tell a guy, I say, hey, I want to go on every day. Well, that's when he called the people we were living with. And he said, now, Bill Winston came here. He wants to go on every day. Can he really afford that? Here's what she said. She'll tell you that today. She said, I don't know whether he can afford it, but he sure got some faith. Amen. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. If faith won't make it, it will give you the resources to get it. I'm saying they bought the oil knowing that they couldn't move the stone. I can tell when you got faith because you'll buy the oil when the stone is in place. I can tell when you got some faith. It's a corresponding action that you will have when you're truly in faith. Now, what people try to do a lot is ride on somebody else's faith. Let me use your faith a minute. Well, you've got faith. Because if you've been born again, all men that have been born again, every person has been given the measure of faith. You have faith. And you're in a time now that you need to use some faith. Right. Because you can't count on this system. I mean, this thing is broke. All right, let's just go a little bit further. Amen. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 1. Let us therefore fear, that means believe, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was a gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word did not a word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what?
Faith
in them that what?
Heard
it. So when you get the word, you've got to mix it. How does faith come?
By
hearing. And hearing what?
The word
of God. So as you continue to hear it and continue to hear you speaking it, you are mixing it. So your tongue is the mixer. So you can mix faith so that faith will develop inside of you so that you can use your faith to do what you need to do. Let me keep going here. Now, the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. Let's go to Luke and chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. Now, I just thought we're talking about the father and his family, but I want to deviate just a little bit because I want to make sure that we're in faith. Because that is the way we, the church, is going to overcome the world. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. If you got it, say praise the Lord. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria of Galilee and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy what has made you whole? Thy faith has made you whole. Faith controls your attitude and your actions. Faith controls your attitudes and your actions. I remember being in faith. And I'll tell you one about myself. Here I was working for a computer company, and the economy was kind of like it was now, and people weren't buying large computers with IBM. And the next thing I know, I started meditating this word concerning God's plan to bless me in good times and bad. So then my sister calls one day and she said, how are you doing this month, brother? Well, that was the last day of the month and you're supposed to bring in your orders and so forth. And I had salesmen that worked for me and nobody had brought anything. As a matter of fact, people were taking stuff out. I mean, it was a bad scene. But I had meditated that word and she said something. She said, how are you doing this month, brother? And so the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Right.
See? And them crying out was because they had heard something. And it had filled their hearts. I know what I'm talking about. So I said, without even being aware of it, I said, I'm doing just great, thank you. And if you call back at 5 o'clock this afternoon, I'll have so much business I can't even put it all on the books. Well, when I hung it up, I came to myself. Really. But what happened? When faith really comes, you get under the influence. Have you ever seen a drunk man under the influence? Well, if you haven't, that's okay. I'll tell you what happens. That person is subject to say anything. You know why? Because he feels no sense of embarrassment.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
He just get loose mouth. and be talking all crazy. Well, when you become under the influence of the Word, then it will seem like you're talking crazy. Because if Mary would have gone out and told certain people that she was going to have a baby, including her husband, I think, they would have wondered, is she getting a little too caught up in this thing? Say amen to this. But she went to Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth had just had a miracle.
Come on.
And faith is a substance of things. Come on. Hope for. What does the word hope mean? Earnestly what? Expected. When you go to other folk who are expecting, you will find that you'll have a lot of good companionship in that group. But when you try to bring faith projects to people who are unbelievers, don't want to go anywhere, have no desire to please God, and just coming and taking some religious steps in something, and you give it to them, then they may talk about you. But you're going to have to be willing to be ridiculed. Because when they see the end of your faith, that's when they're going to want you to pray for them. We are faith folks, and what we are tending to try to do is to blend in with folks who are not in faith. Well, somewhere you're going to have to come out of the closet. You're going to have to come out of the closet. Somewhere, you're going to have to go public with your faith. And that's where a lot of the intellectual does not want to go. Because we may not be accepted. Well, let me tell you what that is. It is disguised fear. You fear that either it won't work or you won't be accepted. You see, God accepted me. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, he said he has accepted me in the beloved. In fact, he said that he knew me before I ever came into my mother's womb. In Psalm 139, it said that he knew all my members. That means he knew exactly how big my nose was going to be. But he accepted me anyway. He knew that I was going to be a teenager and steal some hubcaps. But he knew me anyway. Y'all don't make me preach this. Because God is a faith God. Faith controls his attitude. He's not looking because things don't look right for a moment. He doesn't lose faith. He doesn't back off of you and say, oh, she ain't going to work for me. He's not going to work for me. Oh, I thought he was going to make it. No, he's still saying, come on, Susie. Come on, Joe. You can do it. Go show yourself to the priest.
That's right.
Then here one came back and Jesus said, well, wait a minute now. Whoa. Why is just one coming back? Were there not 10 cleansed? He didn't need to see them. He knew what faith he released. You gotta see what I'm saying. Folks, when you know that you know that you know, you go buy the oil, and while you're coming, somebody gonna move the stone. Somebody is gonna move whatever's blocking your way out of the way. That's what I'm talking about. I need some faith folk. I need some people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Folks, the biggest problem in the church today is unbelief. It's organized intellectualism. Nothing wrong with the intellect, but it comes after faith, not before it. That's a dangerous place to be, because I've got to know God said what he said. Say amen to that. That was the hardest thing for me to cross over. I remember when I first ran. I was just coming. I mean, I had been to schools and graduate school and so forth, and here I was, came to a tent meeting. Man of God was up there preaching, and miracles broke out. Boy, I said, hey, I had on my navy blue IBM suit and everything. I said, I got to run. I took off all around that tent, and something broke. Now, you don't need to run in here tonight, but I'm just saying. I had to break through. And I've been walking by faith ever since. I got my house paid totally off by faith, houses by faith, all everything paid, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Got faith. Got you here by faith. By faith. Say amen to this. Faith has an attitude and has an action. When you're really in faith, you don't get disappointed. Is this making sense to you? All right, let me finish this real quick. Please, God, what time I got here? 2 minutes. All right. Okay. Somebody's, y'all tracking along with me now. This is helping you, isn't it? Your actions will always prove your faith. Let's go to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. Boy, I tell you, my sales reps start calling in. Hey, Bill, I just got a big order for so-and-so. Hey, Bill, I just got a so forth. That by the time that 5 o'clock was there, I was booking so much business, my boss, the branch manager, told me to stop. Because he said, you booked enough business for everybody in the branch. All the other managers booked enough business for them. That's what faith will do. Faith will run your cup over. Faith will do that. Now, all that business came in just like that in a matter of 2 or 3 hours. Business that we hadn't gotten that much business all year. Faith did it. Look what it says here. He says in verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, it's dead, being alone. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Well, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. Well, the devils also believe, and they tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? My goodness. So your actions prove your faith, and they will either betray or authenticate your faith. There's a man named, read his book, named Bishop David Oyedepo out of Nigeria, said that his wife, she was carrying their child. She came in and made a statement. She said to him, I think I had a miscarriage today. Here's what he said. That cannot happen. Can I have my food, please? He said that was his final word. And guess what? The pregnancy was sustained by the force of faith and gave birth to his firstborn son, David Jr. The force of faith. Who is that? Brother Hagin told a story about when he went and he had his wife and she was ill, and he prayed for her and believed he received her healing. Then he went on to church. He was pastoring at that time. Had church service that night, came back home. Said, Ken, how was service? Oh, it was just fine, thank you. Did y'all pray for me? No, we didn't. What do you mean you didn't pray for me? He said, well, why would we pray for you? We already prayed. You healed. Y'all didn't pray for me? I'm just saying something. Where is your faith? I think that's a trick of the enemy to try to undo your faith. Because when you spoke it, it's working. And he's trying to show you and make you feel like it's not. But it is so. Last place. Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. I just don't want to rush through this. Matthew chapter 8. So faith without works is what?
Dead.
Say, I'm under the influence. Praise God. And this is a time where Jesus, verse 5, he's entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. He said to him, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under where? Authority, having soldiers where? Under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Then I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and what? Yes. Gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast what?
Believed.
So be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed when? Self same hour. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have to go to the house? What did the centurion believe? He just believed the word. And my friends, I really believe that what happened with Mary and those women is that word was in their hearts, but doubt was in their heads. And even though doubt is in your head, if the word is in your heart, you will see the results that you believe for. So don't mistake that, because sometimes people think because it's doubt in their head that this won't work. Not 1 ounce of the force of faith comes out of your head. The only thing your mind does is it's used by God as the goal setter. If I want to turn the temperature up in this building, they have a thermostat somewhere, and they come and they set it, that dial, they set it on a higher temperature or a lower temperature. And what happens is once they set it, those units up top on the roof kick in. And what they kick in to do is they kick in to make the atmosphere agree with what you just set. Your mind is the goal setter. The force of faith comes out of your heart. I remember Charles and Frances Hunter when they were really, really, when I first started this, you know, 20 years ago. And here they were. I mean, we went to their meetings, and because we like what they used to do. They used to have all kinds of names for it, you know, doing the stuff and you know, the neck thing and the elbow thing, the back thing, and so forth. And they used to get results now. I used to watch him just, but one time I remember that I came up, wanted prayer for something. I came up and Frances Hunter passed by me, and the force of faith was so strong until it knocked me back. She didn't even touch me. She just passed by. And I believe the force of faith on Jesus was so strong because he was walking by faith and not by sight. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying this is a time that we need to use our faith. And just remember how we started. Mark, Matthew chapter 16, who will roll away the stone for us? But notice they went and bought the oil that they were going to anoint the body with. But once they got there, it was already done. God moves based on your faith. And if there's a stone in your life, if you just go by the oil, if you just do some corresponding action, God can move in your life. Did you get something out of that? Give the Lord a praise. All right. Now what can you believe God for? Well, what do you need? Whatever you need, you can believe God for. Really, what do you need? You can believe God for, because it's all your inheritance. What you can do, be, and where you can go, and what you can have, all is in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's yours. Now, how do you have to do it? You have to take the word, and you have to mix it with what? Faith. You have to mix it with faith. And then faith takes over. It tells you everything to do. Faith told me everything to do to occupy this building. Faith told me to have a meeting with the mayor. Faith told me where to go. Faith said to me, if the money is not here by Monday, go to the bank. Faith is doing all this because faith can hear, see, talk, have everything. Faith moves God. He starts talking to you. He starts leading you. He starts guiding you. Faith does all that. Faith, faith, faith. The first thing that you should have developed in you after you get born again is some faith. Because that's the first thing you're going to have to start operating in so you can not only please God, but you can get your inheritance. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yeah. Folks, I remember going over to Uganda, first time I went over there, and I went and we were staying in this place, in this compound, and the guy was talking about this friend of his. He said, do you know that this guy actually used his faith to keep a light bulb burning for 18 and a half years until he moved out. Never had to change the bulb. I believe you can use faith to lose weight while you sleep. You want to know where that scripture is, don't you? You want to know where that scripture is? It's under that, this one cometh out with nothing but prayer and fasting. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. If you're here, you know in your life you've not been right with God, or you know that you don't have a relationship with him, here's the only thing I want you to do. I want you tonight to give your life to the Lord. That's what I did. And once I did that, everything changed. Everything became brand new. Everything changed in my life. So if you're here tonight, I'm not asking you to join this church tonight. You can do that tonight if you wish. But if you are looking to go somewhere else, we certainly can send you there. But let me be used by God to bring you into the kingdom. And let that same light that He